Attention Austin musicians and music industry professionals. Are you having a difficult time navigating these waters, especially after the coronavirus and all the clubs have been closed? You don't know what to do? Well, let me tell you about a great resource for you. That's the Austin Music Foundation. Austin Music Foundation provides ongoing artist development services through its educational panels, one-on-one consultations, and online resources. Now listen, gang, all of that stuff is available to you, the artist or music industry professional, for free. And since coronavirus hit back in March and everything is closed down, Austin Music Foundation had the forethought to move all of their programs online. That's right. You can watch panels online. You can do your consultations online. Austin Music Foundation is there for you, and it's all free to you, the artist. Just go to austinmusicfoundation.org. That's austinmusicfoundation.org. Get involved. Gang, we all know Spotify has become the ultimate app destination for music lovers. I have an account and I love it. I find new music by following Tastemaker playlists, and I make my own playlist that I share featuring music from guests that have been on the show. But did you know that aside from millions of songs, Spotify now has thousands of podcasts? All your favorites are on there, including How Did I Get Here? That's right, we are on Spotify. Just go to Spotify.com or download the app from your app store, and don't forget to follow How Did I Get Here? That's Spotify. Millions of songs, now thousands of podcasts. Start listening now.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. I hope you guys all had a good weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend, whatever that even means anymore. Like, what does someone do on a weekend? You watch different shows. You didn't get out of bed because you didn't have to go to work or anything. I don't know what the weekend means anymore. But whatever it was, I hope that you did all right and you made it through. And we got Thanksgiving week coming out. As you notice, this show is dropping on Monday, so I'm doing three shows this week for the Thanksgiving holiday. Normally I do, because people are traveling. Gives them a little something extra to listen to. Gives you guys a little something extra to listen to when you're sitting at the airport or waiting in the TSA line or flying on a plane. But hopefully you're following the CDC rules this year and staying home on Thanksgiving. It's crazy, man. It is crazy out there, and it's difficult to keep it all together. But I have a fantastic show for you guys today. For those of you who are regular listeners and are used to sort of this Austin-centric show, I'm going to introduce you to a Canadian artist from Kitchener, Ontario, named JJ Wild, who just put out a brand new single on Friday called Mercy. She just put out a brand new record in June called Ruthless. That is fantastic. She is an amazing artist. She has only been really putting out records and doing this thing out in the record releasing and touring world for a couple of years, but she has toured a lot of the United States. She's never been to Austin, but hopefully after this pandemic, we talked about it, she'll be able to come down, maybe come down for a South by Southwest. You guys will get to see her. All of my audience that is looking for new music, you guys, I found this gem for you. JJ Wild, Canadian rocker. And those of you that are new to the show, now, my name's Johnny Gowdy. I'm a musician here in Austin. You can Google me and find out all my stuff. I've been a musician for a long time, and I started this podcast in 2011. I'm almost at 1,000 episodes of this podcast. This is like 992 or something, I think. Anyway, been doing this a long time, and I was very grateful to sit down and talk over Zoom with this amazing artist, JJ Wild. As I said, she released a record called Wild Eyes, Steady Hands in 2018. And she has a fantastic story. She was slugging it out. She was working all these jobs. She was playing in bars with a band and doing like the coffee shop singer-songwriter open mic thing. And she got to go do a song with a band and got discovered by her manager. And then all of this stuff has opened up. She's done, as I said, a great deal of touring in Canada, great deal of touring in the United States. And unfortunately, she is down, you know, no one can tour now. But she's been doing live streams, and you can find out when she's doing live streams and all that stuff by going to jjwild.com. She's also on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. She's very active on there. Go check her out. This song, Mercy, she just dropped it on Friday. Fantastic song, man. Gorgeous song. And what a prolific artist, man. What a prolific artist and such an honest songwriter. I don't know. I love her. She's fantastic. Her music is great. And it turns out she was a great hang and we have a fantastic conversation. So please, without further ado, enjoy my conversation with Canadian artist JJ Wild. Let's get down. I have to apologize for last time. I got my central and eastern time zones completely messed up.
Don't worry about it. Shit happens.
Shit does happen. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. Yeah, I'm doing really good. How about you?
I'm good, man. I'm trying to stay. You know, things are insane here. You live in a different country. I don't know how much of this insanity bleeds into your world.
A little bit. I mean, definitely not as close to home as it is for you, but yeah. We're just kind of observing, I guess.
What do you make of it from your vantage point?
The election?
Is that what we're talking about? Just what's happening in America.
Well, I mean, it's difficult to say when I don't live there, but I would say as a third party looking in, I feel like it must be extremely frustrating and a weird time to be patriotic, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that Trump is trying to withhold information about COVID and not wanting to transfer information over is just the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And not only has he, in my opinion, ruined America for 4 years, but now he's just like clinging to it like a little sad baby. Yeah. And it's hurting so many people in the process, but he doesn't seem to care. And it just, as if it wasn't bad enough. Now somehow it's like, I just find it infuriating and, yeah. And yeah, so as far as it goes to be watching, I think it's probably very frustrating. But then also the thing that is strange for me to wrap my head around is that it was a close race, which is
man,
like that's probably the most terrifying thing of this whole thing is that after 4 years of watching the downfall of America, essentially, people still were able to, I don't know if it's blindly following your leader, if it's I'm a Republican so I always will be, or if it's just misinformation, or potentially that's just how they feel. But for me, it's literally mind-blowing to think that it could have been a close race at all.
Me too.
So
I will say this.
I have an opinion on it.
I like that this started with, well, I don't know if I have an opinion on it. I don't live there. you were right on all counts, all of those things.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is.
Yeah, how do you feel about it in this situation, being someone that's probably affected by it more than I am?
Well, it's infuriating, and it's difficult to sort of, you have to find ways to distance yourself from it and find a way to get your head out of it. I'm a musician as well, so I have that going for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. At least you can write about it.
Yeah.
You know, from great pain comes great art, usually, sometimes.
Yeah. That's what they say. I was listening. Somebody was telling me the other day, and they said they're tired of hearing that. They're tired of hearing like, oh, well, at least art's going to be awesome now that Trump's in office. Like, like the world's going to be all fucked
up. Somehow solves the problem. Yeah, that would be, it's not a Band-Aid, but, you know, it's something.
No. Well, hey, this is not really a political show at all, but watched a show that you did recently that I guess was a live stream with your band.
Mm-hmm.
You did that there in Ontario.
Yes, we did. I mean, I've been doing live streams frequently, but not the only one I could think of that I think you'd be talking about, because it was filmed. It was like a,
yeah, it was filmed.
There's like a bit more production behind it. Yeah, one was really fun. That was here in Kitchener, my hometown. It was Twitch to do with the Amazon release that I had done with Stop Dragging My Heart Around. It was like a new cover single.
Yeah.
So
you did a great job on that, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was my first time doing like a high production live stream. Usually it's just me here and like I'll get one or two of my band members to come and we literally just set up my cell phone and like a Instagram live or like, you know, that kind of thing. So that was the first time where it was like, you know, cameras and nobody's there, but you're playing to an audience and it was interesting, but it was a lot of fun. It was way more engaging and less awkward than I thought it would be.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cool. Your cousin did an interview with you in the middle of it that I thought was real cool.
Yep. Yeah, now, that was fun.
Do you guys write together?
We've written songs together. We don't write, so far we haven't written anything of my stuff that's out there right now. We haven't written anything together, but we have done writing. And it's fun to write with him. Like on tour, we sometimes, if we had a night off or something, we just kind of mess around and write some stuff. There's one song that I love, but we haven't done anything with that. We played on the road. One of the tours, I was just like, screw it, let's try this one out. Cause it's more of like a low key acoustic thing, but in the middle of a crazy set, it was kind of fun to just have me and Dan on the stage, one electric guitar and singing. And his voice is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a great voice. Yeah.
I think it's cause we are also family that we can harmonize really well together, but his voice, I love it. So this one song I'm talking about in particular is basically harmonies through like the whole thing, which I love. But no, we haven't really written a lot since. Yeah, we should.
Yeah. This record, Ruthless, is fucking great.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're really cool. It was like one of those things where from doing the show and just observing pop culture and being a guy that I'm 52 and I've done this, like, I've had a band since I was 14. And so I'm like a rock and roll guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a guitar and drums and bass and some keyboards and a band that plays. You know what I mean?
That's how I view it. That's how I view music, really. What did you play?
I play guitar and keyboards and mostly and sing.
Nice.
That's what I do. Love anyway.
Just curious.
Yeah. But you wonder sometimes, like, where is music going? Like, is there going to be a person that's going to jump up with like a fresh take on that? You know,
I think on
rock and roll. And I thought,
think, you know, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I thought you did.
I mean, I think it's funny because in today's kind of radio culture, I would say, the fresh take on things is actually going back to bringing in organic instruments.
Right.
Which is funny because it's not really a fresh take because it's what's always been done and what's always been good in my mind.
Right.
But I think a lot of music, and not to say that music's bad, like I really love a lot of stuff that's electronic or, you know, there's more synth heavy stuff, or I think it's great, but I think that radio has gone so far that way than to hear a band actually playing the instruments and having that live sounds like something new, even though it's not new at all. But I think that's kind of like where things are going.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
there's just such an also like a rock and roll in the attitude and even in your lyrics I wrote this down last week when I was listening to your record for like the third time. I was like, you embrace the messiness of life.
I don't have a choice.
I don't think any of us do, but a lot of people try and run from it or try to paint some sort of thing that isn't really there. And you're just like, I woke up in my fucking clothes again. You know what I mean?
That is very true. Honestly, that's funny. Cause it's true. And I think part of growing up almost, but we're just like figuring it out or trying to, at least. Like I know when I was younger, I definitely didn't have such a open-mindedness about failure or about not knowing what the hell is going on. I used to try to figure it out all the time. And I think there's something very liberating about just understanding that maybe you don't need to know everything right now.
Yeah.
You know, eventually you might figure it out. Maybe you don't, but there's something very, I don't know, peace of mind in that, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So who did you write these songs? Did you write these songs on your own?
Partly. So my producer and I co-write everything together.
Okay.
The songs usually start with me, although some of them, there's a few that we started in studio, and on my writing trips out there to a studio in LA, I'd come in with a fresh crop of songs that I had written, and some of them were complete, but some of them would have been, you know, a verse and a chorus or an idea or a melody I liked or whatever. And I would bring all this stuff that we would kind of do the pre-production before I'd go out there and think, okay, well, let's focus on these ones and then we'll just see whatever happens. We'll leave some space to create some stuff together.
Right.
And so it was a fun thing for me because as a songwriter, I'm usually used to writing the lyrics and melody and then the very basic acoustic guitar. That's how I write basically everything. And then with Fred, he was so open to having me really hands-on co-write with him the instrumentation as well. So it was like in the first EP and also the album, I guess, it was really my first time writing the drum parts with him and writing the, you know, the bass and guitar and everything and having a hand in all of it. So it was very much a collaborative effort. I definitely would say my strength was still the lyrics and melody. I'd be bouncing ideas off of him, but mostly writing that out myself. And then he again would come up with the initial riff of something. And then together we'd kind of tweak it and do all this. So it was great. There was no ego. There was no, you know, ideas that had to be right. It was just very free flowing. And yeah, so he's a great, great writer and producer. Frederick Thay is his name.
Frederick Thay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's from Copenhagen. But then went to LA and then okay. back in Copenhagen.
How did you find him from Ontario?
My manager, he had another band work with him. And when I was first starting out, the first thing that we had kind of done was get me to do some writing sessions because I had never really co-written with anybody. I was in a band previous, but that was like a, you know, I write my part, you write your part, and that kind of co-writing. So it wasn't really the same. So one of the first things he did was have me go and try out different writing sessions with people and see how I do in a room with people, you know, what kind of styles work well. And then it was a great time, but I definitely instantly had a connection with Frederick. Thought this is going to be... It was easy. It was like these songs just came out and the writing flowed and then we just kind of continued from there.
It's amazing. Can I ask you one question? When you go to LA, do you stay at the Oakwood?
No, okay. I don't. What is that?
The Oakwood is like this giant super... It's like I stayed there, but like everyone from Nirvana stayed there. There's a documentary about it. It's just a place where people go when they're trying to get famous and work on their thing. They're like fully furnished apartments with like plates and dishes and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. No, I wish I knew that at the time.
Anyway.
I did go to Sportsman Lodge on Ventura.
What is that?
Was a really fun thing. It was on, it's like this like old hotel. There's a bit of rock and roll history to it. But that was the first place that I stayed in LA.
That's cool.
Kind of like it was really funny. The moment of driving down Mulholland Drive and then going to Ventura Boulevard. And I was like, I'm living these songs right now.
Yeah.
It was, I definitely had that moment. It was cool.
Isn't that free falling?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you listen to? What's your,
I listen to everything. Right now I'm on a kind of like jazz kick. I'm listening to a lot of, Chet Baker.
Oh yeah.
But I think that's just because around Christmas, when I think of like holiday or snow, because in Canada, obviously, it's pretty cold right now. Jazz comes to mind. So I listen to like classical music and jazz in the winter. But also, I have like my love of, you know, folk music and rock music and stuff. But currently, I find myself listening to a lot of jazz. what else am I listening to? There's a new Local Natives EP that I was, well, I guess not that new now. It's a few weeks, maybe a month old, but it's really good. Something about sour lemons. I can't remember, but it's great. I really like that.
So, all right, let's get to the bottom of this, the J.J. Wild story.
Yeah.
You were born in Kitchener?
Yep. Born and raised.
What are you, what's your family like? I saw your cousin said you were loud.
Yes, we have a very, at least on my mom's side. My mom's side of the family is loud. There's a lot of us, and there's several of them that are also musically inclined. And it's funny because they all kind of, you know, joke around like, where did they get this from? Because none of us know how to play or sing.
Right.
And so, it's funny. A lot of my cousins are very musical. So growing up with my mom's side of the family, you know, we have potlucks every month. Well, not now, not because of COVID, obviously, but you know, everybody gets together, all the cousins, aunts and uncles every month. There's always like music playing, we're jamming. We used to have like a fam jam every year where the extended family would come and all the, you know, family bands would play, or like, it was always very supportive of music, which I'm very thankful for.
That is so rad.
Mm-hmm. Very, very lucky. And like even Christmas would end up just being like everybody in the jam shed at the end of the night, and all the cousins are just like drunk playing music. And then my dad's side of the family, also extremely supportive. He's from England, so a lot of his family is there still, but I guess I say less musical on that side, but I actually got my love of music from my dad, because although he doesn't really play, I think he knows like three chords on the guitar, but his record collection is insane. And when I moved out to my first apartment, I started just taking some of his records. I like take 5 or 10 at a time and like keep them for a month and then bring them back and take 5 or 10 more. And so he's always had a very great taste in music. And I think that's where a lot of it comes from. Just both of them, I guess. They love music.
Did he grow up in England?
Yep. Well, I think he came here when he was either 14 or 16. I can't remember.
But he's like a dude that has like T-Rex records and
yeah.
Rocks and music records, like a cool guy. Yeah.
He's got a great taste in music. It was all the like, you know, underground stuff. It's very eclectic, that collection. There's everything, which I found really interesting too. Some stuff that I wouldn't even think of listening to. I didn't even know who they were. And then I put the record on and just discover it for the first time from this old album.
Right.
He also used to work at a record store. So like every paycheck, he would just buy albums.
Yeah.
So he's, yeah.
Are they still together, your folks?
Yep.
Yeah.
They live 5 minutes from my place.
What does he do for a job?
He was in printing for a long time. He was in like advertising, marketing, advertising, printing, and everything like that. And now, I mean, he's kind of semi-retired. My mom did social work for a long time. Now works at a college doing career counseling, helping people find jobs, helping immigrants get work for the first time, new to the country. You know, all the good stuff.
Yeah. When did you make the choice to be a music person? Because you're new. You just put out Ruthless, you put out Wild Eyes, Steady Hands, last 2 years ago.
Yeah. So I mean, it's been a long road for me. I know it's very new, this project, I would say. But I've been trying to pursue music since I was, I don't know. I guess I learned to play guitar at 15, still not that good at it, but enough to write songs on it. But that's when I kind of first found the love for it.
Yeah.
And then I started playing gigs when I was 18. solo, just me and an acoustic guitar, whatever I could. I had a band that broke up, kind of went back to going solo. And then it wasn't until I got signed that I had started this kind of more rock venture. But it's always been my dream. I didn't know how to pursue it. You know, I was playing bar gigs 3 nights a week, working 3 jobs, trying to somehow make it. So it was very, very serendipitous when I met my manager and all of that. Just kind of, it really was the right place at the right time. But there was a lot of groundwork that went, you know, before that. A lot of tours, a lot of gigs to nobody, a lot of, you know.
Yeah. What, like, so how did your manager connect with you? Like, what, did he see the band and he liked you, or?
No, the band had been broken up for years at that point. That was something I did in my, like, 19 to 22 or 3. And then I had been doing solo stuff. I went out to Halifax to try and kind of get my music chops up again after my band had broken up. And I came back. I was working and gigging for a long time. And it was just, I had met Brett from the Glorious Sons, the lead singer. I had met him through my old band. And it was just a very chance kind of thing that I was working at a music venue that they were playing at, you know, an upcoming concert. And he had remembered me from, like, we had kind of kept in touch over the years, but not really. And he had said, hey, you know, I'm coming to Waterloo. My band is playing, blah, blah, blah. I've got this song that I think would be great if you sang with me. Because he knew me as a singer from the previous band. And so I started going up to Kingston, practicing these songs. We made a practice video of us just singing the song. It was, you know, not thinking anything would come of it. And it kind of blew up on their social pages. And his manager is also my manager.
Okay.
And so he saw the video and was like, who is this person? I want a meeting. I want to see what's going on. And then it was a interesting road after that. We had a couple meetings, you know, thought things were going to take off. And then he kind of disappeared for a little bit. And I thought that I had completely missed my chance. I thought, shit, I blew it. I don't know. Like, I must have not sent him the right songs, or I think I only sent him 5 songs, freaking out. And it was a long time. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, he got back. He just, you know, reconnected and said, do you have any new music? And at that point, I was so desperate. And I was literally at the point of giving up music because it just hadn't been working for so long. I was so desperate. I was like, you want music? I will. Okay. So I sent him everything that I had been working on for the past 3 years, all categorized into different months, years, folders of just like over 500 voice notes. And I was like, you want music? There you go. He's like, I'm not messing this up again.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, the rest is kind of history.
Wow. So, in getting together and figuring out your sound, what, like, how were your songs as personal and everything as you were coming up the whole time? Because these seem almost like diary kind of songs.
Yeah, that's always been my way of writing, just kind of a therapeutic, you know. I've always used writing as a way of working through things personally. So most, if not all, of my songs are things that have happened or emotions I've felt, or, you know, it's all been through my personal experience, my lens, my, you know, it's kind of like hard on my sleeve stuff. But that's just the only way I've ever written. It's kind of like, I've just now, you know, in the pandemic, because I have more time to write, I've gotten into more experimental writing where I'm, you know, just coming up with concepts and visualizing those and then turning that into something. But that's something very new for me. Usually, you know, I get inspired because something's happened or it's something stirring in me that I don't even know needs to come out. And then all of a sudden it'll just come out in a song. And then it's kind of like that moment of like, oh, I guess I guess that was really bugging me, or like, I guess this is what I'm feeling, you know. It's just like, it's almost involuntary or something. Like, it's like, I don't know.
No, I understand. It becomes almost like you're doing stuff to get it out. You perform like, I mean, just from what I've seen in that video, you perform like that as well.
Yeah. Cause I mean,
like, it could be the last time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess, cause yeah, you never know. You never know what's going to happen.
You never know what's going to happen. You toured on the Wild Eyes Steady Hands album, right? You toured the US.
Yep.
Tell me about that. What was that all about? How did that go?
Oh, that was so, I mean, that was amazing. I love touring. It's probably one of my favorite things about this career, is just getting in a van with a bunch of stinky boys and driving across America. It's so fun. It's just, you know, I'm really lucky with the band that I have. We're all friends, and it's fun. The road is fun. You know, it's obviously, you know, people get on each other's nerves and whatever, but we never really have any blowout fights or any of that like really bad tour stuff that sometimes you hear about. It was
or have
just
lived.
Yeah, exactly. But it's the sense, for me, it's the sense of adventure.
Yeah.
And the excitement of, I feel alive, you know. I'm getting in the van. I love doing a lot of the driving. Like, sometimes I'm just too tired, or like I have to sleep for a show or something, but there's nothing more that I love than getting up in the morning, getting the gas station coffee, and just hitting the road and listening to the music I want to listen to, and just being behind the wheel and being like, it feels like it's my thing, you know. It feels like, I don't know, it's great. It's very fulfilling. And then not to mention the concerts and meeting people every night, different people every night, every city. It's great. I love it.
You're in that era of your career where you go to the merch booth after the show, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I love it. I mean, it's funny, because no matter if you, I mean, as many artists are, they're their own worst critic. And so you could have a shit night, so you think, and then you go to the merch table and there's people lined up just excited that you're there, just excited to meet you, excited to talk about music with you. And then I think it's a beautiful thing, because if musicians didn't have fans, I feel like they'd all end up talking themselves out of it or something, you know, like,
yeah.
There's that part of the creative mind where, at least for me, I'm on a constant roller coaster of, is this shit even good? And then all of a sudden I'd be like, oh wait, I just wrote the best song ever. And then,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's always,
oh, yeah,
this, like,
yeah,
up and down. And so without fans there, I just think that artists would be way too hard on themselves.
Yeah. 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 It's funny. That roller coaster of emotion happens to me when making records. Like, there's the, you know, this is going to, you know, this is it. This is going to change people's lives. And then the day you walk in and you start listening, you're like, who the fuck made this? This sucks.
Yeah.
Like, whose idea was this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or even if the stuff that you think is real shit, and then, you know, a month later, like, I wrote that? That's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's ridiculous. There's no rhyme or reason. It's just, yeah.
What kind of connection, like you said, you go and meet the people. Do you, it seems like with your sort of confessional level of honest songwriting that people would relate to you and connect to you. Do you get that? Like, thank you for being there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is honestly one of the most important things for me as a person, as an artist, as just like people that believe in the music,
yeah,
and have the music not change their lives, but like, but you know what I mean? It helps them get through something. It helps them realize something that they didn't, you know. That kind of stuff is really what gets me going. You know, when people come up and, because it's, you know, some of my songs are uncomfortable because it is so personal.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for me to share some of them, but I find it important because I know I'm not the only one that's been through this kind of thing or thinks these things. And then, yeah, to have people come up and say, you know, Funeral for a Lover, it saved me or something. That is like it's the best. It's like, yeah, it's just the best thing that I could ever, that I could ever ask for.
Yeah, totally. It seems like, what's the line in The Rush about you don't want your mom to see you or hear you, like whatever.
I swear to God, I hope my mother can't see me, because if she did, I don't know how I'd keep it together.
What did she think of that song? What did she have to say?
Oh, she thought it was hilarious.
Okay, good.
I remember the first time she heard it. She was just like, well, what's that supposed to mean? Yeah. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah, that's
it. And it's like, I was like, mom, it's a song, but don't ask.
I don't know if it's because of our age difference, but that's what my reaction was like. Well, what is she doing?
Yeah,
that's,
I know.
So, right? Shameful.
I know. And that's the point. I mean, that's the point I'm trying to get across. You know, everybody's had that moment though. You're liars if you say that you haven't. Yeah. No one wants to admit it.
Yeah, no, I know. Believe me, I've had them.
Yeah. Exactly.
What would you have done if, like, the music hadn't worked? Like you said, you were at the edge of your thing. You're working three jobs, singing solo in a coffee shop somewhere in Canada. Not that that's bad, but
nope. but it was happening.
Yeah.
I had a few backup. I never really had a backup plan. When things were really low for me, I would think about potential other opportunities or careers or whatever, but it never made sense to me. It was never anything that I thought would make me want to quit, even when it was like the worst. And it's strange because I was at a breaking point where I ended up going to the college that my mom works at to sit down with one of the other career counselors. And I was like, okay, so I don't know, this is what I'm thinking. And the poor woman, she's like telling me all these career options that I'd said. Like, I thought maybe it'd be cool to be a mechanic. I'd love to be able to restore, you know, like that was another like thing that was like, and still, I mean, if I had the time and the knowledge, I would love to do that. But so there's like mechanic, there was like maybe woodworking to make this like really cool artistic furniture. And I thought all these ideas were great. But then this poor woman is in there telling me and trying to sell me on all these careers. And I'm just sitting there like, oh no, I don't want to do any of this. And like hearing all the options and it's nothing is going. And so that day I basically gave up and I was just like, I don't know where the hell this is taking me, but I don't feel like I have a choice. I have to just see where it goes, or else I'm always going to be wondering, what if I would have just stuck with it? What if this? And then I swear to God, it was like a matter of weeks after that point, I met my manager. It was like the weirdest, like stars aligning kind of thing. I can't even make that shit up.
It's so weird when you let go like that and surrender.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It was strange. And I mean, here we are.
Yeah.
Maybe one day I'll learn how to fix cars.
Yeah. I had that when I was 22. I was in this band and it was all these things were happening and we were getting this publishing deal and then everything went south and the band broke up and it was all weird. And so, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm 22. I'm washed up. I haven't made it. And I went to the college and I was
really?
Like, well, I'll be a landscaper.
Yeah. A landscaper. I like it.
And it was,
that was
just
actually one of mine too.
Was
landscaper.
It?
Yeah.
It just seems
like
cool.
All hands-on work.
It seems like you could listen to records and like be outside and no one would fuck with you. It's kind of zen.
Literally. You know what I mean? Exactly. I know what you mean. Yeah.
What were some of the jobs you had during that time?
I mostly was a server at a bar, restaurant, pub thing. I was also a bartender at a music venue. I was also a receptionist at a spa, juggling those three at once, playing at the restaurant that I worked at, plus any other gig that I could get. But before that, it was mostly always in the restaurant industry, a lot of service jobs. But yeah, those were the three at the time that I was trying to juggle. And the receptionist at the spa was a difficult one to do, to like be in such a low, crappy place and have all these, you know, people coming in to get pampered and these like significant lives that they live. And I'm just sitting here like, trying so hard not to be bitter when my life is literally falling apart around me. Yeah. So that was an interesting time, but I quit. And one job that I loved was I worked at Mercedes in the service industry as a porter. And essentially it was a job where I just got to drive the cars around the lot and park them, like all these like really nice cars. And then when the mechanics were done with them, I'd have to do a road test. So I just get to take these cars out and rip them down back roads. As long as I went, you know, had to get up to a certain speed, had to drive for a certain amount of time. And I could just drive, you know, for like the afternoon. It's like the morning I'd park cars. The afternoon I'd just be driving around Kitchener and other people's cars.
That is awesome.
It was a lot of fun. That was one of my favorite jobs. And it was a great place to work. It was,
yeah.
It was a good time.
Yeah. There are times like that, do you look back on some of those times and think about just like, oh yeah, just the freedom of how I felt when I was driving a Mercedes through Kitchener. You know what I mean?
Yes, I definitely do. I do think about that. And it's funny though, because I do remember that time as well, being, even though I was loving my job, and it was one of the first times where I was like, okay, well, I could see myself doing this, you know? But then sure enough, after a certain amount of time, I just started to get frustrated and feel like I wasn't writing anymore. Right. And it just ate at me.
Right.
And that kind of was any job that I had. I couldn't really hold a job for more than a year without needing to quit or leave or think that I'm not pursuing music enough, so I need to just like leave this good job and find something else. Or, you know, it was weird. It was always kind of sporadic, and I don't think I really lasted many places more than a year.
Let me ask you this. When you put out your last EP, Wild Eyes Steady Hands was an EP, right? Yeah.
Yep, that was the EP.
You got to go out and tour. You got to go do stuff, and now you put out Ruthless in a pandemic. And I know you've been doing live streams and stuff, but what all has this kind of pushed you creatively to sort of like think of what to do next or what happens next?
It's interesting because, yeah, it was a hard choice to release during the pandemic. I mean, there's the knowledge that you're not going to be able to tour and you don't know when you're going to be able to tour. So shit, this might fall flat. But then also there was a part of me that thought nobody's releasing right now because of that. So it's important. I mean, people needed music more than ever during that time because, you know, there's so much uncertainty. No one's really doing anything. So the consumption of music was going up, but nothing was really being released, right? Except for like, you know, documentaries about pandemics. So it was like, oh my God. So for me, it was just kind of like, okay, well, the thought behind it is I hope that this, you know, relates to enough people and that it gets people by, like gets them through whatever they're going through. And that when we can play shows, they'll still show up. And then to have released it and then really not play anything or play any shows. It was very bizarre. There was definitely a good 2 months where I didn't write anything. I was just very uninspired, kind of, as I'm sure a lot of people were, just frustrated, uninspired, uncertain about what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
And then it was like I had to put effort into getting motivated to write again, to think, okay, I don't know if I'm writing for any reason, any purpose, but I just need to do it for myself.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of when I started experimental writing of just like different concepts and using that as my motivation of, okay, well, if I'm not writing for any hit singles, any albums, anything like that, which I don't typically write for that purpose anyway, but there's definitely something encouraging about, hey, you're going on tour, or hey, we want you to put another album or something like that, you know, that kind of deadline that makes you, you know, get into the
groove,
the spin of it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So when time is just endless and you're just kind of writing to write, it's a very different experience, you know?
Yeah.
But then, yeah, I found, okay, well, maybe let's just use this time to shake things up a bit and expand writing styles. And that's been working.
Yeah.
I think.
Good.
Yeah.
You know, are you a fan of David Bowie and like Brian Eno and stuff?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, I don't think I'm as big as a lot of people. I know my dad is a huge fan, and
he's got to be.
Yeah. A massive fan.
Yeah,
and so is my mom. I definitely say I am, but I wouldn't be able to say like deep dives on albums.
Okay,
I have a lot of educating to do on that matter.
Well, what I was going to say is that there's a. Bowie did a lot of different things, and he kind of pushed the envelope and challenged himself in these different ways.
In White Duke.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But there's this thing that he would do that made me think of what you were saying, made me think of this, is that they would take lines and write them just like single lines from pieces of paper, rip them up, put them all in a bag and shake them up. And then pull them out and just put them together randomly.
Oh, that's cool.
It's kinda, yeah, just weird shit like that.
I like that. I'm stealing that.
I've stolen it a few times.
Anything good come of it?
Yeah. Do you know the artist Patty Griffin? Lady?
No.
Well, she's a lady. We wrote a song once and we did that. And it was fun. And the song came out good. The other thing is, have you ever checked out The Oblique Strategies?
The Oblique Strategies. No, you're giving me all this new stuff. I love it.
This is so cool. I'm so glad to be able to tell someone about this.
Yeah.
So the oblique strategies, you can read up about it, but it's Brian Eno, the producer, and this psychiatrist came up with it in the 70s. And there are these, it's like it was originally a deck of cards, but now it's an app. So you would pull a card out and it would give you a suggestion to help you overcome places where you're blocked, like a writing block or a recording block. Okay. Like, but they can be real abstract, like think of blue, like that's all it says. Or, or like, you know, take the guitar out or something like that. So, yeah, those things are cool. Do you ever...
Strategies.
Yeah,
what's called?
The Oblique Strategies. Yeah, I think I follow you on Twitter. I'll send you, I think there's a website for it or something.
Awesome, I love it.
So at this point, what are you doing like to push this record and JJ Wild? Like you do a live stream and...
It's hard to say because... Really, the only opportunities that we have currently are live streams.
Right.
But, you know, you also don't want to be doing high production live streams every week because that kind of, as much fun as it would be, it's not really practical or, you know. So I've been doing more of like the casual live streams where it's me on like a different website or blog or stuff like that, where it's basically just me hanging out, chatting, taking some like questions or anything. And then I play a few songs, which has been a lot of fun. It's really getting me into playing the songs on acoustic guitar, which is also really fun because it's kind of like rearranging some of the songs. So creatively it's inspiring to do that. But honestly, I'm really just using this time to try to stock up on material that when I'm on tour, I sometimes don't have time or energy to write. I mean, it's a great time to write because there's so much happening, but I find on tour, it's difficult for me to find the space for it. Then after tour, there's always like a ton of writing that happens, so right now I'm honestly just trying to focus on writing and getting more material so that I can keep releasing while this is going on. I just want to release more music and until we can play again live. And then I just want to hit the ground and go for as long as we can.
Yeah.
And just, and not stop.
Yeah. Did you ever come here to Austin, Texas?
Not yet. And we were, so we were supposed to play
South by Southwest. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was going to be the first time for me, the first time attending at all. It had been something on my bucket list for years. Always, that was like a dream of mine, just to attend, just to see the shows, be in that vibe for a week of just, you know, the, I've only heard things that, you know, like the city shuts down and it's just music everywhere. And it's just like, to me, it just was the ultimate, you know, goal, dream.
I mean, imagine though, what you just said, okay, so I've been playing them since 1989. And yeah. It was real small, but now it's this huge thing. And there is music everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's coming out of everywhere. And you can hear sometimes five bands at one time in a certain location in the middle of a certain street because they close the streets down, some of the streets downtown.
Mm-hmm.
But JJ,
that.
There's no telling what you're hearing. And you know, you know in your heart of hearts that if there's going to be 1,500 bands playing, at least 83% of them are very bad or something you don't want to hear.
I mean, there is that.
There can be like this cacophony of horrible things you don't want to be hearing at that moment. But if you enjoy day drinking.
And I do.
And parties that start at 11 a.m. on a Wednesday with free booze.
And barbecue.
Yeah. Then this you'll, I hope it, you know, I don't think it's going to come back next year.
You don't think so? I was wondering that because wasn't this the first year in like they said ever or something like that?
It started in 1987 because I played the third one.
Wow.
That was the first one I played was the third one that it was. And then it was just like it was like 80 bands and that was it, yeah, a lot.
But this was the first cancellation, right?
Ever.
Like the first time ever.
Yes.
Yeah, in the history of it. So I was like, but what do you think about that? You don't think they're going to do it? I mean, how could they really, right?
You know, the day that they canceled it was the last night I went out with a bunch of friends and I met people at a bar for someone's birthday, but they had canceled it like at 3 p.m. that day and everyone met. So everyone was in the business.
Oh my gosh.
All my friends are in it, either musicians or work in the business. And so here's this gathering of people where it was like, it was like when you got together with people after 9/11, like the day after, like you're just kind of in shock. Like everyone was in shock, like, oh, what's going to happen now? And there was, there's so much other stuff that happens outside of the official South by Southwest that those guys were all like, fuck it, we're doing it. We're going on for like 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so there was, it was real weird. A bunch of my friends lost their jobs that worked there. And yeah, one of my best friends, even that I grew up with, lost his job there.
No way.
So yeah. So I don't know. And then there's the people that say like, you know, it got so big. It wasn't about new bands or new music or discovering music. It was about Kanye playing on the Doritos stage or something. You know what I mean? Like it just kind of became a weird sort of like over commercialized thing. And so there's some people that are like, you know, maybe it needed to be kicked down a little bit.
Right.
I don't think so, but.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I would think that the people that are going to see Kanye on the Doritos stage are going there anyway, but the people that are wanting to see the new bands are still going to go and look out for those new bands. So, but
I want to see you play. I enjoyed that concert so much, even though it was a live stream. And I wonder sometimes if I get numb to music, but when I got sent your stuff and I listened to, I was just like, this is awesome. And I have to tell you, like, when I got that email from your publicist, my stomach like sank. I was like, oh God, I hope I didn't disappoint my favorite new artist. Like, that's the worst, man. Because I really do. I fucking love this record. I think you're an amazing songwriter. That song, The Rush, is like some 70s glam rock song that I've been waiting for somebody to do for a while. And there's almost like this Oasis kind of like thing to you that I really love that. I love it. And I love it when a woman doesn't feel like they have to not, excuse this phrase, not have a big dick, you know what I mean? Like, and be like a lead singer and have that kind of thing, just like a you know, it's like anyone, it's genderless.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was hoping when I watched that you would come off like I imagine you when I'm listening to your music, and you did, and I was just blown away. And I don't know why, but I just love, Dan is your cousin?
That's his name?
I love that dude, man. He's badass. And you guys do sound amazing together singing. He's got a great voice. He's very cool, and he seems to be supportive while still giving you shit.
Yeah. You know? Well, me and Dan grew up like brother and sister. Our moms obviously are sisters, but are more like best friends.
Yeah,
and we were all the kids. There's three kids on each side of that. Like I have a brother and sister. He has two brothers. We were all born 1 year from each other.
Oh, awesome. So
literally Dan is like my big brother. Like I would consider him more of a brother than a cousin.
Right.
So he definitely does give me shit a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's good. It must feel good to be like when you're on the road, you're, you know, cause bands can get funky, but family can't leave.
I know. He doesn't have He's stuck with me.
Are you guys planning, are there any more band live streams in the work? Any more band shows?
Not really. Not yet. We're doing a live stream. I think it's next week, but it's more of the same kind of acoustic stuff.
I want to see that too.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to give you the details. I think it is on this. Let me just check.
Do you put it on your website?
Yes, I believe so. I don't usually update the websites, to be honest. I'm not much of a technical person.
Oh, so you're like in a rock star zone. Like you don't even deal with your webs. It's not some Squarespace shit that you update or do anything. Like you've got a guy.
I got a guy. Actually, I got a girl. Well, actually, I got a girl and a guy.
So no, what do you just party all day? What's going on? You write songs. I know you write songs.
There's a lot of the social stuff that I do take care of.
Okay.
But as far as I've never been good at digging in on, you know, computer stuff. I'm not good at it. I like to focus on the art of it. And then obviously there's a lot of other work that goes through, but.
JJ, there this is one thing I remember from last week was I went through your Twitter and then I noticed there's this weird like phone number on there that you could just call. And I was going to call, but I didn't know what I would say. But I was like, what does that do? Like, what happens when you call that number? What happens?
So you can't call the number. It's just texting. But it's essentially like another way of connecting really with fans when we can't connect at all. So it's a texting thing. You can text me. It is not like my current number for like calling, but it's another one.
Right. No, I didn't think it was your number.
Yeah, I know.
But I was like, what is it?
Does people do, and they'll be like, what do I do if I call? Like, what? Or like, I tried calling. I'm like, ooh, you can't call, but shoot me a text.
Do you get weird texts?
Surprisingly, no. I thought I would get a lot of weirder.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe like dick pics and shit, but I haven't.
Not that you're asking for it.
Not that I'm asking for it. I'm definitely not asking. But I've been pleasantly surprised with this because I was expecting some weird shit. And most of it has just been people that are genuinely like excited and just want to say, hey, I just heard your song for the first time today. Like, you know, and then what they think. It's all been super positive. I mean, I think there's been a few people that go out of their way to text me some like mean, nasty stuff. I'm like, and I just delete it. I'm like, well, that took, you know, however long out of your day. And it took 1 minute to just delete it out of mine. So
isn't that funny that we live in a world where people feel like they have to go out of their way to tell someone they don't like to tell you like, hey, you know what? I don't like that thing you did.
I know. Just in case you were wondering.
Yeah, just in case.
Just
in case you were wondering, Marge from Iowa, who you'll probably never meet in your life, does not like that thing you did.
It's so good. That's literally the truth. And I couldn't.
I get it a lot. I've been doing this show for like 9 years, a little over 9 years, and I will get just randomly, like, somebody will really spend a lot of time listening to this show and hating me. And then I'm just like, well, don't fucking listen to it, dude. Like, I'm not doing anything to you.
I know. But the best part of that situation is they're still listening. They're still
giving. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And like, it's just like, why are you going out of your way to, like, and I find that, I love that. I think it's hilarious when people do that. I'm just like, well, you can listen to my stuff all you want and still hate it. You're still helping me out by listening. So what are you really doing here?
Exactly. No, awesome. Well, I've really enjoyed talking to you. I'm really glad that I had this feeling like, oh my God, because it took Alina a minute to write me back after. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Please reschedule. And then it not even that long, but maybe 35 minutes, but those were excruciating 35 minutes because I never want to bum anyone out, especially someone that I really think is genuinely as talented as you. And I hope someday I get to see you live. I hope that you get to tour because you belong on a stage and in a studio.
Oh,
but yeah,
you're
really fucking great.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And honestly, with that whole mix up, it did not even faze me. I was like, fuck, shit happens. Cause I've literally done stuff where I've like woken up at the wrong time and missed an interview completely.
Sure.
I'm like, oh my God, I thought this was yesterday. Blah, blah. Yeah. And I know exactly what those excruciating minutes feel like when you're like, did I just fuck everything up? What? Yeah. What did I do? And then it's just like, oh, it's fine. It's all right. And I think anybody that takes offense to that has a head that's too big for their shoulders.
That's good. Yeah, I'm glad you're as down to earth as you. I've really enjoyed talking to you, and I hope that we can stay in touch. I'd love to see more music from you, and get to see you play live. And if you ever come to South by Southwest, we could meet at 11 a.m. for a day drink.
I am so at barbecue. So down for that, please.
Also, yeah, I'm so old, that just sounds a lot even better than 11 p.m. at this point. You know what I mean?
You know what? I'm not even that old, but 11 a.m. drinking sounds more fun than 11 p.m. to me, too. Yeah. So.
Well, have you gotten to that point in your life where someone's like, oh, yeah, your show starts at 11:30? And you're like, oh, wow, what do I do till 11:30? Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
I've definitely, maybe not, actually not really with concerts because I'm always down, but like if someone's like, let's go to the bar or something and it's past 9, I'm like,
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, JJ, also one last question.
Yeah.
What does JJ stand for?
So my first name is Jill and my sister's name is Jenny. And she's my older sister. She's been my biggest support my whole life and like a huge inspiration. And she has 3 kids and she can't, you know, she can't come on the road. She can't come see the shows because she's got a family and she's doing that whole thing. So she'll come to the shows that she can. But for the most part, when I was starting out, it was all in America. So for me, it sounds cheesy, but it was kind of just my way of having her with me. That was really it. Cheese for the end here.
No, that's sweet. And you're a good family person all around. Great. It's been great meeting you and let's stay in touch. I'll let Alina know when this drops. It'll be in the next few weeks, but really fucking great record, great music. And I can't wait to hear more.
Thank you so much, man. It was so good to meet you. And this was a blast talking to you. We got to keep in touch.
Likewise. All right. Bye.
See ya.
It's my turn.
The amazingly talented and incredibly cool JJ Wild from Canada, from Kitchener, Ontario. What a great conversation, man. What a cool person. Cool person, man. That single, Mercy, that you're hearing right there, that came out the day after we had the conversation on November 20th. So that single is available. I didn't realize it was coming out because we had set this up before. We were talking about her record, Ruthless, which is also amazing. Just go to jjwild.com for all of your JJ Wild needs or look up JJ Wild, wherever it is you stream and download your jams. Check out this single, Mercy, brand new. And of course, her album, Ruthless, which just came out in June. A very prolific and very amazing artist, JJ Wild, from Kitchener, Ontario, in Canada. Gang, don't forget when you're out there checking out jjwild.com, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts, be it Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher. New shows every Tuesday and every Friday, at least. Sometimes during the holiday season, we drop 3 shows a week. Those will be on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But subscribe to this podcast. You'll know when you're getting them. Also, if you want to get involved in past shows, if you want to check out the history, because we have so many out, almost 1,000 episodes out, you can go through our archives by going to howdidigethere.podbean.com. Sorry. howdidigethere.podbean.com. Look on the right-hand column. You'll see months and years. Just click on those, and you'll see, I mean, hundreds of podcasts, almost 1,000. Let's hear the rest of this song, Mercy, the new single out by my guest today, JJ Wild. All right? Go to jjwild.com for all of your JJ Wild needs. And you yourself, you have a good day. Stay safe, stay sane, and stay healthy. Let's get down. Take all that I